Hello there. I've just been given a list of questions that some brave soul pulled out of a box and typed up and gave to me that I will be viewing. I hope there's nothing dirty. What do you play for the crowd that's heard everything? I'm going to open with a song I wrote about my dad. My dad passed away a year ago yesterday. Started working here when I was 21. Summer of 56, my life had just begun. Back then, this place was some place to be. Thought I could grow with the company. Never took a dime, never raised a fuss. Right is right. Even for those of us who make a dollar while the man makes ten, and they say hard work pays off in the end. Everything I got with my own hands. Never wanted to be no company man. So I kept my eyes open and my mouth shut. Saw my workload increase, my pay cut. But I bought a house, started a family. Still had some faith in the company. Hard times hit, 67 late. Devil must have opened up the floodgates. My wife, she left me for some other guy. And in my heart, yes, I always knew why she was never gonna understand. Couldn't be no company man. So I got hired on to be try that again. '79 brought a dose of reality. We'd all heard the rumors about the company. Till one day they shut us down throughout the South. But keeping my job and moving out. So I got hired on at the local factory. Couldn't see uprooting my whole family. Never thought I'd be starting over at this stage, taking shit from some punk half my age. No retirement, no hospital plan. Never wanted to be no company man. Long since retired now from the factory. Hardly ever think about the company. It's kind of lonesome. Kids are grown. Moved away with families of their own. I got me a little house and a piece of land. Never wanted to be company man. Sometimes in this world you gotta make the stand. Never wanted to be no company
Thank you. All right, shall we take a question? Question number one. What inspires you to cover a particular song? Who said I had to be inspired to cover a particular song? No, that's not true. It inspires is a good word, actually. What makes me want to cover a song, I've said this before, maybe even to you guys, but either it's a song that I wish I had written, or it's a song that I've always wanted to sing, or it's a song that I feel like I could put a unique twist on and kind of do it in its own, in a different way that it would be different from the original. That would be, what's that? Oh, well, thank you. Not fishing for compliments, but thank you. You know, and like most of you guys, I like a lot of different types of music. And so I think it's important sometimes if you have an audience, which we and I were lucky enough to do, to kind of give indicators of, you know, what influences you and what inspires you and where it all comes from and to kind of connect the dots. And I've been doing that my entire life. I've always really enjoyed just pursuing all the different types of music that I love, and thankfully that enables me to kind of get away from being bogged down with any one thing and do something else for a while, and then when you go back to what you were doing, it's nice and fresh again. You guys trust me, I don't need to show you the questions, do I? How big is what? Oh, just barely big enough, I can tell you that. Next year it might be too small. It says, have you ever covered a song by The Who? And then it's a two-part question. Then it says, can you? So I'll give a three-part answer. How about that? A, yes, we have. We actually, Governor Buell did Who's Next for Halloween one year in Oakland at the Fox Theater. The second part of that question, can you? Yes. The third part of that question, can you now? No. I could probably try to remember something, but I'd wind up forgetting the words worse than I already did. Okay, so whoever wrote this will know that it refers to you. But as Brits, it's always great to hear you play songs by British artists. Thanks for the Brown Sugar encore, by the way. If you could choose one song by a British artist that you wish you had written, what would it be? See, that's an interesting question because not only is it an impossible question to answer, it says if you could choose a song by a British artist that you wish you had written, okay, which is part of the criteria as we discussed, but not the entire criteria, what would it be? So the answer has to be not only momentary, but based on just what I wish I had written. That's really hard, because I have a lot of British favorites. God knows that there's so many great Beatles songs. But one that comes to mind instantly that I wish I'd written, and I could go into a whole discussion about why, but Shine On Crazy Diamond. Uh, You know, that song freaked me out the first time I ever heard it. And it still, like, it means even more to me now than it did back then. I just think, that's one of those things, it's like, yeah, I wish I wrote that because it says what I would try to say if I were writing about that. So, tomorrow this time, I'll give you another one, and every day for the rest of my life, I'll give you another favorite British song. Can you play Who'll Stop the Rain? All right, once again, multiple answer question. P is not raining now, so. So I'm not playing that song. That was A, wasn't it? B would be, yes, I can. Someone told me long ago, will you? No, I won't. I love it. I love that song. Before I ever picked up a guitar, I was a Creedence fan. Not unlike the dude in Big Lebowski. But unlike the dude, I don't hate the Eagles. All right, moving on. Can you share some memories from back in the days at the Wetlands, New York City? Perhaps a good memory stands out for you. Well, why don't we make this the last question, since it's going to probably be a long answer. Show of hands or vocal, how many people are familiar with the Wetlands in New York City? So not a ton, okay? The Wetlands was this club that existed in New York when I first went there. And it was a hippie club. Why do I say it was a hippie club? Myself and Alan Woody and Greg Allman walked in there late one night, which was, I guess, must have been 1990, after playing at the Beacon. I'm guessing it's maybe not accurate, but we walked in there, and Johnny Neal as well. I remember because Johnny kept the limo, and they charged him about $2,000. So we went in this club in New York City, and everybody was smoking weed, and you could go downstairs, and you could bring your bong, and it was definitely a hippie club. There was a Volkswagen microbus parked in the middle of the club that was like a headquarters for all things green and eco-friendly, and they were handing out paraphernalia. It was very active and ahead of its time in the ecological sort of direction and you know, helping slow down the massive corporate footprint that was going on. It was also a good place to get high. So, who played at the Wetlands? Blues Traveler came out of there, Spin Doctors came out of there, Joan Osborne, who else came out of there? A lot of people from that scene. The first time Dave Matthews Band played in New York, it was at the Wetlands, and I joined them for that night. At that moment in time, nobody outside of the state of Virginia really knew who they were. and we had a blast playing to a really small crowd. Government Mule played there quite a few times. There is a cool documentary out that you should check out. It's really cool. And then the most interesting, good and bad story is that that's where I was the night before 9/11, which you can also kind of check out that story. It's a long one that I don't want to go into, but we jammed all night at the Wetlands, and then the next morning all hell broke loose, and it led to me sharing a bus with Dave Grohl's mom to get to Denver to make our gig. Again, you can look it up. It's a cool story. Doesn't sound like it at the moment, but it is a cool story. For me? Oh, you're butting in line. It's okay. My first concert was the Edgar Winter Group in Asheville in 1972 at the Municipal Auditorium. Oh, please. I wish I was there so much more often than I am. But my first show was the Edgar Winter Group, and the opening band was the Marshall Tucker Band, and nobody knew who they were. What kind of car? I drive? You're assuming that I drive. I drive a Tesla S model that I've had for about, since 2014. I got in early on the Tesla.
How's
that
holding up?
Getting close, I would say. Tonight I'm gonna sleep in a good hotel with a nice warm bed if all goes well. I've been out in the Badlands 21 days tracking my bound down. He was only maybe 17, but a tread and love away for a streak of me. And now he's tied to my saddle, his head hung low out on the glory road. So all you downtown ladies, won't you dress in style? Got some gold in my saddlebags, I traded for a smile. Let's have dinner on the devil tonight. Tomorrow there'll be hell to pay. Won't you come along? I'll be riding on the glory road someday. Thank you. Two men painted on a midnight sky. One slung low, the other riding high. And I wonder if anybody knows just why I had to shoot him down. Now I lay me down to rest, and God bless the boy with my bullet in his chest. Cain bless me, 'cause I lost my soul out on the glory road. All you downtown ladies, won't you dress in style? I got some gold in my saddlebags. I'd trade them for a smile. Let's have dinner on the devil tonight. Tomorrow there'll be hell to pay. Won't you come along? I'll be riding on the glory road someday. Won't you come along? I'll be riding on the glory road someday.
And speaking of Asheville, North Carolina, that song was written by my friend Ray Sisk, who was a songwriting mentor to me growing up in Asheville. And I used to sneak into this little club called Caesar's Parlor and watch Ray Sisk and Larry Rhodes and Malcolm Holcomb and a bunch of these people that were either a little older or a lot older than me, who were singer-songwriters that would play in this folk club that I was too young to get into. And once I started realizing that I could get away with it, I started going all the time. And then one night somebody got me up to play, and I think I was 14, or 14, almost 15. And once that happened, I was hooked. I hung out there all the time, playing live in front of an audience. Became addictive and seductive to me before I was 15 years old. So the Caesar's Parlor, which had a lot of names through the years, that little club, I played there. The only place I've probably ever played there more than would be the Beacon Theater. So.
Hi
from me. All right, so this question says, is there a song that's hard to play or awkward to play because of your feelings having changed since you wrote it? Actually, it says because your feelings evolved since its original inspiration.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think. Most songwriters have songs that they stop playing at some point because it doesn't mean the same thing to them. It can be in a way that it is not as important as it once was, or in some cases it can become more complex and more important. I'm thinking about this song, Is It Me or You, that I wrote, that was on Ashes and Dust, and I wrote that song a long time ago. And it was about a friend of mine who was spiraling. And I wrote it and never recorded it, and then he passed away. And so it took me ages to get up the courage to turn that song into something that I could get up and sing night after night. So that's something that changed, because it was about our relationship, and through the eyes of someone who didn't expect that person to die, and they did. So it's, hey, woohoo! Happy time. Tears on the inside of your face, but none on the outside. No pain could penetrate the palaces you've built from the ground floor. No so long dark side of your past, so long since you've tried to replace the wooden mask that hangs around your neck like some token of a war. A survivor, what you call yourself, but have you looked through the eyes of someone else? Is it me or you that's killing you, babe? To be on you that's trying to hang on. Like a bullet dancing in your breast, you had the answer. You pointed at my chest with your evil eyes, the same eyes that used to be my window. A denier, never seeking help. Has it grown too late to help yourself? Is it me or you that's killing you, babe? Is it me or you that's trying to hang on? Cause ain't nobody wants to save you. Nothing in this world can save you. Maybe I could save you if I only knew. Tears on the inside of your face, but none on the outside. No pain could penetrate the calluses. Palaces you build from the ground floor. Hutch is doing great. I wish he was here, but he's not because he's in school. All right, what is your guilty pleasure song you like? That would be songs with an S. I like a lot of guilty pleasure songs. You know, that's an interesting question. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. The last time we were here was when we moved inside. Is that right? Okay. Myself and Tyler Ramsey and Carl Brommel did All Through the Night, the Cyndi Lauper song, which I love. I absolutely love that song. And the way we did it, they do it anyway. And then I told him that I'd always wanted to do it. But it shines a different light on that song, and what a beautiful, beautiful song it actually is. I love it. I'd like to go back and listen to that song. Huh? One more time, I can't hear it. That's yours? That's your guilty pleasure song? I believe in miracles. I hated that fucking song when I was a kid. I did when I was a kid. I hear it now. Oh, I like that. That's good. We evolved. Do a number of Beatles covers. Do you have a favorite? No. A good question. Like everybody, I grew up with two older brothers. They were big Beatles fans. I heard the Beatles from the very beginning. And what I find odd and beautiful is that the ones that were my favorites way back when are not necessarily my favorites now. And some of the ones that I didn't like as much, because I don't know if I ever disliked a Beatles song. At this point in time, I definitely don't dislike any of them. I think they're all absolutely great. But there were times, like growing up, I didn't connect with some of the ones as much as I later would, like songs like I was thinking about the other day, like I Me My, I love that song, Dig a Pony, I love that, Happiness is a Warm Gun, all those kind of strange tunes that turned down a dirt road and said, we're not going to be what you expect us to be anymore. Those songs are a lot of my favorites. But I also love the classic McCartney melodies like Michelle and Yesterday. I mean, how do you argue with that? Those melodies are going to be around 100 years from now. I had a record called Meet the Beatles. Uh, I've never met Paul, and I never met George or John. We went to see Ringo one night at SPAC, Saratoga Performing Arts Center in Saratoga, New York. The Allman Brothers were playing there the next night. We went down to see the show, and we got there right as they were walking on stage, and I think I did a quick how you doing to Ringo, which is the closest to meeting a Beatle that I ever became. But everybody that I know that knows Ringo just loves him. Let's see. More Beatles type stuff. This says 17 years ago at our wedding we played Maybe I'm Amazed. How come you haven't played that anymore? We would love to hear it, and it holds a great memory for us. Me too. That's, even though it's not a Beatles song, that's one of my all-time favorite McCartney songs. The live version that was on the radio when I was a kid is just mind-boggling how great it is. We've been talking about doing it again with Mule. It's been a long, long time. I think Danny and I did it at the farm as a duo, I believe. I think. Is Christmas Jam back in 2022? Okay, that's a legitimate question. I really, really hope so. We wanted to bring it back this year, and there was just no way for that to happen. And if things go well, then I would really like to think that there will be a Christmas Jam. I can't wait to get it back. All right. Sounds good to me. I'd like to get through 12 first. But yeah, I mean, this is awesome, right? It's Has the pandemic and extended lockdowns changed your feelings about wanting to tour as much as you have over the last 20 years? Yeah, I want to tour as much as I've been touring for the last 20 years, and I can't. That's a complex question, too. I think psychologically it's changed all of us, and we have to really think about things like what's most important in our lives. Playing music is really, really, really important in my life, but it's not the only important thing in my life. And I'm sure it's changed and reshaped kind of my whole outlook, but I look forward to getting back on the road with a rigorous tour schedule, if that's somewhere in the near future. Westville Music Bowl, yes. I like that place. It's cool. We enjoyed those shows. It was kind of a nice reintroduction to getting back to something. You know. It was such an intimidating time period, and it still is, but we're poking our heads. When did you start singing? When did you start singing professionally? I think I probably started singing when I was 7 or 8 in my bedroom, singing along with Motown and James Brown and soul music and eventually Beatles and stuff like that too. But most of the music in our house when I was really young was like soul music. That's what I grew up on, and that's how I learned how to sing, assuming I did. And when did I start singing professionally? We were 12, I think, when we started a little band and wanted to play in front of people if they would let us. And that meant playing for free. Not really, no. But I started singing. I was really shy in the beginning, but I started singing around 15, 16 in front of people, and not feeling too freaked out about it. But I always sang, but I wasn't as comfortable doing it in front of a crowd in the beginning, which is, I guess, somewhat normal. What's that? I don't know. I think it's just, I've been singing all my life, and it's something that the more you do it, the better you get, and you just have to do it all the time. And it's the same with keeping your voice in shape. For me, one of the intimidating things about the last couple of years was not being able to play, not being able to sing, and feeling like we're all taking a step backwards. Like when we did those shows in Westville, I was worried that my voice may not make it through the 3-hour show because I hadn't sung, you know, other than sitting around singing in my house or something and in the studio. But I hadn't done a 3-hour mule show in a long time. And so that's kind of, that's how you build your strength up, is being on the road and beating it up night after night after night after night. Oh, it's dead. All right, what else we got here? Was curious if there were any unreleased tracks from Hitting the Note, that's the Allman Brothers record that we did, that may even see the light of day. In all seriousness, we didn't have any songs left over. We recorded everything that we worked up, and so there are no outtakes from that record. I wish there were. That was a really fun record to make, and a record that I think we're all very proud of. It's funny, a lot of Government Mule records, there are no songs left over either. So we just wind up using everything at some point or another, you know. But I could play something from that record and tie it into that question. So a lot of these songs, I haven't done it in so long, so... it doesn't seem like much of an accomplishment to you for me to actually remember them.
There is a long, hard road follows far behind me. It's so cold, I'm about to die.
chasing a dream around the world. It's got me feeling down. Oh, it used to make me high. Looking for answers, searching for the truth in an ocean of glass, trying to find a reason and make the whole thing right, and make you old before your time. When I was younger, I thought I would rule the world. Was an oyster at my feet, dancing to my own drum, fishing out the pearl. Yes, I could have been a little more discreet. I've lived a lifetime acting out a part. It's been a long uphill climb. Now all those things that used to mean so much to me, it's made me old before my time. Wandering aimlessly and wondering about, could it ever be much different now? Remind me of the past when I slip into a dream. Funny things ain't ever what they seem. Living like a gypsy, never doing what we're told. Wouldn't hesitate to take a chance. The road behind me now is paved with fool's gold. But it's almost time for the victory dance. No more feeling guilty for things I never did. And feeling nothing for my crimes. Living like a gypsy, dreaming like a kid. It's made me old before my time. There's a long, hard road that follows far behind me.
I think that's a good place to turn it over to Governor Buell. We'll see you in a second.